Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 24th day of August, 2021. I'm thrilled to have back on the program today Reverend Jeff Thomas, who, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor at Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales. He is the author of many books, well known for being a highly sought-after conference speaker, probably especially with the Banner of Truth. And today we are going to be addressing The Prodigal Son, The Beating Heart of Christianity. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Well, you keep asking me, and I'm honored to respond and keep in touch with you, my friend, and then with other people who listen, and it's a delight to bring such a message, so relevant, so beautiful, to all our listeners.
Amen. And I think it would be wise for me to read the most pertinent passages regarding the text that we are addressing today. First of all, I'm going to tell our listeners our website, our email address, I should say, in case they have any question of their own. ChrisArnzen at gmail.com, ChrisArnzen at gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if you're question involves a personal and private matter. That's ChrisArnzen at gmail.com, ChrisArnzen at gmail.com. And I would ask of you folks also, before I start the interview, to continue praying for my family. I just lost our guest. Hopefully he will call back. I would ask that you folks please continue praying for my family as we are still grieving the loss of my brother John, who went home to be with the Lord last Wednesday morning. And I just thank the Lord with very inadequate words. I cannot describe accurately and adequately how much I am praising God that my brother did make a believable profession of faith in Christ, and I am trusting to meet him one day in heaven. But the sadness is still great, especially since I missed two video calls from him the day before he passed. He was trying to get a hold of me, and my phone was accidentally switched on Do Not Disturb. I missed the last two calls from my brother, my last opportunity to have a conversation with him on this earth, that is. So hopefully the pain will subside over that. I know that God is sovereign over all things. And we have Brother Jeff Thomas back on the air. I don't know how we lost him.
Yeah.
But let me read.
I don't know what happened.
Let me read the passage. This is Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32. And he said, this is Jesus Christ, of course, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that is coming to me. And so he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate in wild living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began doing without. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to have his fill of the carob pods that the pigs were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired laborers have more than enough bread, but I am dying here from hunger? I will set out and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired laborers. So he set out and came to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, slaughter it, and let's eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you never gave me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. Praise God for a precious story. Well, obviously this is a universally known story. It is known even by those outside of the Christian faith, even those with a very peripheral knowledge of the Bible have some remembrance, likely. Not all people, of course, but many who were raised in perhaps nominal Christianity, even nominal Catholicism. They just know about the story. But why is this story, in your opinion, the beating heart of Christianity? That those are very high and lofty words.
Well, because it's the clearest message of the incredible grace of God to repentant sinners. That's why. And it's an oral portrait of God's redemption with its own validity and finality. The parable is more accurate and more moving and even more profound than a series of straightforward propositions that Jesus could have made and elsewhere does make about the sin of his hearers and what they had to believe and do, the picture that he paints of this family and the boy is very evocative and open-ended, and especially of the grace of the Father. And I want the picture to live in all you who are listening for the rest of the week, of an old man running to kiss and hug his son before the boy changes his mind. And I have 3 points to make, as I have 3 little sections. I will get across to you what I want to say. And the first is the rebellion of the son. And then secondly, the repentance of the son. And thirdly, the restoration of the son, the 3 R's. And so the first point, let me make it, the boy goes to his landowning father, and he says, gimme, give me. And it wasn't a coat of many colors or a stallion that he asked for, but his share of the estate. And so he wanted the father to divide the property between the 2 sons, and then he would turn his share into cash. And so the actual land that the father owned had to be valued and then divided into 2. He sold his share to someone else, and that would bring such shame on the family, added to the shame the son had already brought on the father by asking for his share before the father's death. It was the equivalent of saying, I wish you were dead. The father bore these 2 blows without recrimination. And there are people in traditional cultures who find the story quite incredible. There were people who come, young men who come to a friend's church here in London, and they heard this parable for the first time, and they were asked, what would happen in your religion and in your country if a boy asked for his share then and disappeared with the money? And they looked at one another and they said, our father would kill him. And so there's a mystery in this story, even before the son leaves home, of the humility of the father, because fathers don't normally behave like this. And so he turns everything he possessed, flocks and herds, into cash. He leaves nothing behind because he's not returning. Everything is taken. He has no pleasure in the company of his father and his brother, and he puts as many miles between himself and his homestead as possible. The old life was restricting and suffocating and narrow, and he headed for a place very far from where he'd been raised, another country. And he chose the life of paganism over the privileges of living in the promised land. And in that distant country, this boy made new friends, he spoke another language, he picked up new habits and traditions, he wore different style clothes. I got away finally from all that I was, that I hated so much, he thought to himself. Nobody knows me here. I can do whatever I want, without any comments, without anyone's frown, without dad's disapproval. He answered to no one. And so he proceeded to taste all the forbidden pleasures that he couldn't even imagine when living in his father's narrow world. It was not that in the distant city, you'll understand this, that he'd go to weddings and 18th, 21st birthday parties and anniversary celebrations. All such activities are legitimate for the disciple of God. Jesus himself went to weddings and feasts. But this young man was unrestrained in his sensuality and spendthrift extravagance. His motto was spend, 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 for tomorrow we might die. He scratched every itch. He satisfied every appetite. He deprived himself of no new sensation. He sowed to the flesh, thinking that this is the abundant life. And he never lacked companionship until the time came far quicker than he'd imagined, when he discovered that he'd spent the lot, and there was no more free feasts of roast pork for his hangers-on, no more hunting expeditions for his cronies, no free wine, no women to buy, not a penny in his pocket, no savings, no auntie or uncle to turn to. All his fair-weather friends left him, and on top of that, a recession hit the country, caused by a fierce drought, dust everywhere, unemployment, starvation. The boom became bust. And the dream faded in the blinding light of that endless burning sun, friends no more, utterly alone. Could he still fall lower still? Yes, for a Judah of anything to do with pigs was bad enough for him to be feeding them as his new companions each day was more despicable, but he fell even further. He longed to eat, to devour their food. It was very bad news. His degradation reached a new low. He not only herded the swine, he herded with them. He ate from their feeding troughs. Sin is a hard master. He was in bondage to poverty amongst the pigs. What began as one thrill after another ended in serfdom. He's like the party drinker who becomes a drunk. He's like the drug user who becomes an addict. He's like the promiscuous person who gets sexually transmitted diseases. The party had become a prison. That's what sin does when it does its worst. So there's no redeeming feature about this boy. From the time he asks his father for the portion of his inheritance and heads off as far from him as he can go, right on to the field of pigs. You see, one error is now that we say the prodigal son is the sinner. When we say he's a type of every sinner, a long way from God, then before we know it, we're saying to every man and woman and those middle-aged ladies of the utmost decorum, there you are with the pigs and the prostitutes, squandering all your loving father has given to you. That's not the message of this parable. This man is not every man. This man is not your run-of-the-mill sinner. This man is how he is described in this parable, a rake, a fool, a drunkard, a waster, a derelict, a heartbreaker. This is what he is. He doesn't stand in this parable as the spiritual symbol of an ordinary sinner. He stands in this parable as the symbol of the sinner in the pits, as far as you can go, as low as you can fall, in the gutter, on the waterfront, on death row. He is the extreme. He's thrown out of low company. If ever there was a son whom a father would refuse, it would be this son. If ever there was a sinner whom God would reject, it would be this sinner, this prodigal, this torturer, this Jesus hater, this Gadarene demoniac, this John Newton. He's not an ordinary sinner. This man is on the lowest rung of the ladder, an inch above the surface of the cesspit, and sinking into it even faster. We can think of the angels waiting and watching and wondering, what's God going to do with this one? Debating whether he's the worst. Is he worse than Saul of Tarsus? Is he worse than King Saul? Will our Lord receive this one? Surely he won't receive him. And it means for all of you who are listening today, that you can never think, let alone say, someone who's been as bad as me for such a long time, falling repeatedly, could never now be saved. We can think we're unique in our shame, so extraordinary, so guilty, so depraved, so abandoned, so far gone, that there is no hope for us. But here in this man, we meet the worst possible scenario, the most abandoned of men, the most selfish, the most cruel, the most wretched, the most hopeless. Here is the chief of sinners, and yet there is a road from where he was to where the Father is. And there is a road, my friend, from where you are this afternoon to where God is. Wherever we might be today, in the depths of our abandonment and hypocrisy and intellectual arrogance and the pain we have caused to those who love us the most and whom we depend on the most, from wherever you are at this moment, there is a road to the Father. And that's the first point I want to make.
Amen.
This afternoon.
Amen. We have a question from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, do you believe that the scriptures sufficiently give us the answer to whether or not this depicts a man who was truly a child of God and regenerate but backslid, or was he someone who was regenerated when he repented and returned home to his Father?
We are not given a clear answer to that question. What we know is that Jesus is speaking of a man in the old covenant community of Israel. He is speaking there of men who have been favored with many blessings, the temple, the scriptures, faithful prophets, and yet they have defied God. They are the sinners who have no time for any religion at all. So I don't know whether there was something in his heart as a child. We are not told any of those things. We are told he was surrounded by privileges, and he disdained them and turned his back on them all.
Thank you, Bobby. Please keep listening in Hartsdale, New York, and spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in upstate New York and beyond. Actually, that's near the Westchester County area. We'll keep spreading the word everywhere. We're going to our first break right now because I don't want to interrupt you in mid-sentence. And if anybody has a question, just like Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least. City and state of residence and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are very much resembling the prodigal in this story, perhaps even before the prodigal repents and returns home. And you would prefer to remain anonymous at this point with the question you have. Or perhaps you have a child who has abandoned the faith and your heart is in agony over this as you pray to experience a story much like this parable where your child returns home and you are able to rejoice with that child after he or she repents and is restored not only to your family but especially to God and his church. But whatever the case may be, if it's a personal and private matter, we will obviously grant your request and keep you anonymous. But if it's just a general question on theology, on the scripture, on this passage, please give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages with Jeff Thomas. Don't go away.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, One of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-4000. 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Jeff Thomas, and he was the pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, for over 50 years. I dare you to give me a list of names who have that same accomplishment in any one church. And he's the author of many books. He's a very well-known conference speaker, especially amongst Reformed Christians, and perhaps even more particular, well-known for his conferences with the Banner of Truth. And today we are addressing one of the most pivotal texts in the New Testament, the prodigal son, the beating heart of Christianity. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We have another question before we move on to the second point, which I know is the repentance of the prodigal son. But before we go to that, we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, who asks, how would we view this story as a story that does not teach that a true Christian can lose his or her salvation and then come back to be truly saved once again, rather than the prodigal son either being saved for the first time later in the story when he repents and returns home, or that he did backslide but never lost his salvation and merely was drawn home to his father as God had ordained. How would you dissuade those that would view salvation is something that could be lost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it all depends on the final outcome of a man's life, doesn't it? You have Judas, who ends in despair and suicide and no repentance at all for what he's done. He had all the mighty privileges of hearing the Sermon on the Mount and seeing Lazarus rise from the dead and the love of Jesus Christ and the exquisite pastoral care that he showed to him. He had all those things, and you would look at him and you would say, well, you believe that, that he's a believer. It's a credible profession. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they never all looked at Judas. They said, is it me? They never suspected Judas. And we're like that. We don't know. But you can fall. David fell terribly. But he repented of his sin, didn't he? And Psalm 51 shows his grief, the repercussions for his family were stupendous, and he ends up, he doesn't even have a wife to sleep with him. They have to find some woman to keep him warm. It's just a horrid picture at the end of the consequences of sin. He doesn't lose his salvation, but he loses his usefulness and his reputation. And I think the Bible very clearly, Romans 8 tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God. It lists all the things that can't separate us from the love of God. We've been given to Jesus Christ by God the Father before the foundation of the world, and he's come in and he's lived a righteous life for us, and he's died an atoning death for us, and he says, no one can pluck you out of my hands. He tells us this. But that should not lead to presumption, because we have the warnings in Scripture of men who fell, like Peter and Abraham and Noah. So take heed, you who think you stand, lest you fall. That really is it. He that endures to the end, he shall be saved. You can't be saved today and lost tomorrow, and then saved again the day after tomorrow, and then the day after that be lost again. Salvation isn't like that. You're given the Holy Spirit as a seal of the redemption that Christ has accomplished for you. But oh, what follies, what bitter regrets we can have looking back over our lives as Christians.
Well, do you have anything further that you would like to clarify or address about the rebellion aspect before we now enter into the prodigal son's repentance?
Well, it'll come out, I think, as I develop this theme of his repentance. You see, the theme in this chapter is not that God rejoices in sinners, not at all. It is that God rejoices in sinners who repent. It's there in verse 7, verse 10 in the chapter. So what does it mean to repent? Well, two or three things. Firstly, verse 17, he came to his senses. He saw what he'd done. He realized where his life was. He knew where he was at. He was far from home. He was penniless. He was homeless. He was hopeless, disgraced, discredited, abandoned. And he came to his senses. The worst sinner. You'd have thought, you know, that this man would always have been aware of his condition each step of the way. There are some men so abandoned that you look at them and you say, they must know the truth about themselves. They have to know. The alcoholic knows. The pedophile knows. The drug addict. He's aware of what he's doing to his health. He realizes what he's doing to his family and his friends and his church. He must know. Surely, he has to come to his senses. But then the Bible says, look at King David. What terrible crimes he committed, no contrition. God has to send a prophet to tell David adultery was a sin, murder was a sin. There are many men and women today, and their sin is staring them in the face, but they haven't come to their senses. They're standing on the forecourt of judgment, on the threshold of eternity, and all they have are the baubles and toys of materialism, the remnants of a career, some property, some family, some money, some memories. They haven't come to themselves. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So, I don't want to sentimentalize, but you think of the great statesman. Think of Ronald Reagan. What a great statesman he was. But in his declining years, like Churchill, all his achievements, all the ego-reinforcing attainments of outstanding lives, in their final words, what did they have? Where were they? And it seems to speak so eloquently of the unsubstantial nature of human attainments. Because Reagan and Churchill had attained so much, and yet, at the last, I doubt if they ever knew it. So I say, repentance begins with the sinner coming to his senses, coming out of the shadowlands of life without God into the bright reality of self-understanding and self-evaluation. And then secondly, he remembered his father. And that word father has only occurred once in the parable so far, but now in the next six verses, it occurs seven times. The Shorter Catechism tells us repentance begins with an apprehension of the mercy of God. You start to believe that though you've been a wretched and proud and vain person, yet God might be merciful to you. We know a man will never repent unless he has hope. It might be a glimmer. It might be a maybe. But he must have some encouragement. And here is Jesus' words, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." We sing Neumeister's hymn, "Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receive a sinful man." Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. I don't care who you are, what you've been, where you spent last night. It doesn't matter. If you come to God in repentance for your sin, you won't be cast out. There's that hope. There's that glimmer. Do you know, somewhere in the prodigal's upbringing, it had been implanted indelibly in his consciousness, that whenever things went wrong, however badly they went wrong, he could always go back home. And he must always come back. He hadn't been taught, if you disgrace this family, then don't come back. He hadn't been conditioned to the view, if you let us down, don't bother to come back. If you bring shame on our name, stay away. He'd been told. And he saw this truth lived out in the practice of his Father. However low you go, however deep the abyss, however appalling the degradation, you must always feel this is your home and you can return. I beg and plead with all you parents listening today that you give your children the same absolute and unconditional security that your sons and daughters know if they face the ultimate in tragedy, they can still come home. If they become drunkards, they can come home. If they marry the wrong people, they can come home. If they get AIDS, they can come home. If they get pregnant, they can come home. If they have an abortion, they can still come home. If they end up in jail, they can come home. They must have, they need that assurance. That is how God trains his children. He wants us to exemplify and reflect his fatherhood. It gives them security. And this son came to his senses, and then where could he go? Ah, his old home. That's repentance. Turned from the love of the world and the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, to God. And then repentance is coming not with a perfect faith. The boy turned for home and he rehearsed what he was going to say. He would say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." And as he walked slowly back along the road, he'd walked along so quickly and excitedly months earlier, he wondered, would there be a welcome? So I'll ask Dad, at harvest time, when he goes down to the market and employs people to gather the crops in, make me as one of your hired servants. He'd lost his self-respect. And now he just wanted to be a hired servant. This boy could not believe yet in the greatness of the Father's grace. He had low views of that. His father was too small in his eyes. And yet his father took him back and cut down his speech when he was only halfway through it. In other words, you don't have to have perfect 100% repentance. You haven't got to get your pleas for forgiveness sinlessly, spotlessly correct for God. God to welcome you, there can be an awful lot of confusion mixed with coming to Christ. And yet God responds exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Jesus doesn't teach us that unless our grasp of God is absolutely orthodox and our faith as firm as the rock of Gibraltar, that he won't receive us. The boy went pleading to his father to make me a workman, but the father made him a son. So that is the second thing I wanted to say about the wonderful grace of repentance. If it's as thin as a spider's thread, but it is joined to Jesus Christ, it is strong enough to take us across the lake of fire and present us faultless before him in that great day.
Amen. And you've finished just at the right time so we could go to our midway break without interrupting you. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Please be patient with us as this is the longer break in the show, in the middle, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they are required of the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So, please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you can't purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, or support their parachurch organizations, and I hope that many of you do regularly, but when you can't do that, at the very least, please respond to our advertisements by saying to our sponsors, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't ever forget, folks, we need our advertisers to exist. We absolutely positively depend upon them for survival because the funding that comes through our advertising campaigns is absolutely crucial. We don't receive enough donations from generous listeners, although we do have some very generous and faithful and loyal and extremely Christ-like givers in our audience, but there are not enough of them to support the program on their own. So we need our advertisers to exist. So please try to respond to as many of them as you can, as I said, at the very least, by thanking them for sponsoring the show. And don't forget to send in your questions to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Ah!
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast, I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety.
Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I know that my guest, Jeff Thomas, has a very high regard for solid-ground-books.com and its founder, Mike Gadosh, don't you, brother?
Yep. Yeah, I certainly do. Yes, dear brother.
And if anybody really cares about the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a vital, a premier, a primary sponsor of this program. We need them to exist. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping our very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Reformed Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending all the way forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Go to solid-ground-books.com today. Purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Jeff Thomas, our guest today, I just have a few important announcements. First of all, once again, thank you, everyone, for praying for me and my family after the death of my brother John at the age of 76 last Wednesday morning. As I said earlier, I trust he gave sufficient evidence that he was truly trusting in Christ, so I have great confidence I will see him in glory one day, and I just thank God for that evidence that my brother John gave through his personal testimony of trusting in Christ during those last weeks of his life. Please pray for his widow, Jan. She is in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, and they don't expect her to be returning home anytime soon, but they do see some progress, but she is in still very critical condition. Please pray for her. Pray for his two daughters, Regina and Patrice, his two sons, Eric and JJ, and for me and my brother Andrew and my sister Mary and my brother Bob. I appreciate your prayers as we continue to grieve over this great loss in our family. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership, I hope that you will make arrangements to get to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, if you're not already here, and attend the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. This is absolutely free of charge. Not only are you going to be fed physically, a great meal at the Bongiorno Center, you're going to be fed spiritually with the preaching of Dr. Conrad M. Bayway, and he is the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and the founding chancellor of African Christian University. Brother Jeff Thomas, are you familiar with Dr. Mbewe?
Oh, he's preached in Aberystwyth at our big conference in August about 5 years ago, and he preached. There was a very strange providence. He came and visited us, and my mother was dying in hospital. And after the evening service, Conrad and I and my wife went up to the hospital and prayed at her bedside, and 2 hours later, my mother passed away.
Wow.
That was a very strange and beautiful providence, and I remind him of that when I meet him at different conferences.
Wow. Well, I had a similar experience with my own mother when Peter Jeffrey, who I'm sure you know, being a fellow Welshman, he was preaching in the United States at a conference at the church where I was a member. Mike Gadosh was the pastor. And this was back in 1995. And I asked Peter to visit my mother on her deathbed. And Peter arose from her sick room about a half hour after entering it. And he spent a half hour alone with her. And he said in his very thick Welsh accent, "I don't know what you're worried about. Your mother's going to heaven. She's born again." And I view that as one of my most precious memories.
I'm sure.
And he is now in eternity with Christ, and who knows, maybe he met my mom again, I don't know. But Dr. Mbewe, who you mentioned visited your mom, he will be our luncheon speaker on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bongiorno Conference Center, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And every man is going to be leaving with a heavy sack of free, brand-new books donated to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that have been personally selected by me. And these are publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. And every man's leaving with a heavy sack of these books. And everything is free of charge. Nothing is for sale. My precious late wife, Julie, it was her idea to start these luncheons in the 1990s when I was still living in New York. And she said that, "Don't you dare ever sell anything at these events. Don't you have any hidden agenda, ulterior motive. This is just to be a treat to the men in ministry for the time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, spiritual edification, and physical nourishment, and free books And I've been keeping her order ever since we started these luncheons, and even after her entering into eternal glory with Christ, I have been maintaining the luncheons and never have sold anything there and promised not to. So if you would like
Lovely.
To... Yes. So if anybody...
I wish I could be there.
Oh, I would love for you to be there.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to attend, if you're a man in ministry leadership, pastor, elder, deacon, parachurch leader, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Also, if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. If you prefer snail mail, as far as your donations are concerned, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, there will be a physical address also that appears on the screen where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never put your family in further financial peril if you're really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. Providing for church and family, providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money in the bank, collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial matters, please share some of that money with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if indeed you love the show and don't want it to go off the air. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, biblically faithful church, theologically sound church, like Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, well, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of biblically sound churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church right near where you live as well, sometimes even within minutes of where you live, as I have done with many people in our listening audience all over the planet Earth. So, if you are in that predicament of not being a member of or being aware of a biblically faithful church, no matter where you live on Earth, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Jeff Thomas on the Prodigal Son, chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. I just before we continue to follow up on anything you wanted to say on the repentance of the prodigal son, you have a shout out from Jyoti, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Jyoti is originally from India, but he lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan now.
Yeah.
And he says, thanks for airing Pastor Jeff again, one of my favorite preachers, much indebted by his guidance and advice.
Jyoti, how about that? Well, that's wonderful. Oh, I write to him regularly and pray for him. Glad to have that encouragement.
Great. And we also have an email from a former congregant, Mike Iliff, who sends his greetings in Christ, along with a photograph of you at a dinner table sharing fellowship. And
how about that?
And we also have a listener named Maurice, and he extends his greetings and gratitude to you. Maurice is in, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly. I don't think I've ever even seen the name of this city or country. I'm not sure which it is. Nakuru, N-A-K-U-R-U. Perhaps it is in. Perhaps it is in Africa.
Yeah. It sounds like a Kenyan name.
Yes, because actually he says that he met you in Kenya.
Right, yeah.
Good. So thanks to all of you for sending in your warm greetings in Christ. Well, do you have anything to follow up on the repentance of the prodigal before we move on to the restoration?
No, I want to. I'm anxious to get on to the reconciliation and renewal that ends the boy's journey. This tremendous welcome. This man from the far country, he turns the corner of the lane. He sees the old house, and he's afraid and uncertain and trying to remember his speech. He's dreading what might be the response of the father he's heard so much. He asks himself what kind of welcome he's going to get and whether he's chosen the right words to diffuse the situation. But while he's a long way off, his father saw him. How often his father looked out the window and up the country lane, wondering would he see a boy he loved coming back. And his father sees him. And a boy so thin, so bedraggled, so wretched and undernourished, so filthy, with the smell of the swine on him, shame and fear written all over his face, but he'd come home. And the father gets out of the chair and runs from the window, opens the door, goes over the farmyard, flings open the gate, and starts to run. Old legs running towards his son. Running lest the boy funk the meeting and turn away, overwhelmed with shame, to walk the last 100 yards. And his father runs and reaches him and wraps his arms around him and sobs out his love, wetting his son's cheeks with his tears, kissing him as he used to when he was a little boy. I'll never let you go again, he says. And that's the beginning of the welcome. The breathless servants come running, arriving at the scene, and he barks out his orders to them. Get the best robe. It's in the wardrobe in the bedroom. And the ring is in the top drawer of the dresser. And the sandals, they're on the floor of the wardrobe. Bring them here. And you, go and slaughter the fattened calf. We're going to have a feast. Ian, snarl at the boy. And say to the boy, what have you been doing with my money? How could you have got into such a mess? What a shape you're in. He didn't say to him, don't you know what disgrace you brought on us all? You know the anxiety you've caused your mother? You know she hasn't slept since you've gone? How we felt for you? You never thought of getting in touch with us? None of that. It's a party. There's the smell of delicious roast veal in the air. Musical instruments are being tuned. Men and women are putting on their best clothes. And there's dancing. Because the son of the owner was dead, but he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. And everything is forgotten in the joy of that restoration. So let's reduce it. That joy to words, it's speaking of the great welcome that God gives to his own returning children, and how he expresses his joy in the gifts he confers on them. He gives us all we need at the moment of our conversion. In that moment, he does so much for us. He freely pardons all our sins, our past sins, our present sins, all our future sins. There's not one sinful molecule that is left unpardoned. What a wonderful, eloquent silence. Sin is written all over this boy's face. Father doesn't mention it. God doesn't hurl our past at us. He forgives. He freely pardons all our sin. We who are so unsanitary become as clean and white as freshly fallen snow. Though they're like crimson, they're whiter than snow. The boy would have murmured some words, what about I did? What about what I did? Don't you want to discuss my shameful actions? New Christians also think like that. They want to bring up their past. They're worried about what they've done. They can't believe that God simply consigns it all to the depths of the ocean. But he doesn't bring it up. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. The past is past. And we forget the things that are behind. It is not that he makes us a servant for 5 years to see how well behaved we will be, and then he has a meeting with his son and his wife to decide whether to adopt him back into family. No, nothing like that. The best robe immediately on him, the ring on his finger, the sandals of sonship on his feet. Slaves, servants never wore those things, only sons. And now, here is a boy who is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and everything in heaven and on earth belongs to him. The boy had walked home all the way to the scene of his shame, and he's going to say to his father, "Hire me at harvest time." But the father hugged him, made him a son again. And we, when we believe in Jesus and turn from our unbelief, are made sons, heirs of God, joint heirs of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We attempted to say, "Father, I can't make it as your son. I've fallen in the past. I fear I'll fall again. I can't live up to being your son. I might disgrace you again. Just make me a servant." And the Father gives us so much more. We have nothing at all to bring. We have no purse, no bag. God gives us everything we need. He joins us to his Son. We are with him forever. We have a complete free pardon. So, let me end this part. What did the boy do as he stood among the pigs, gripped by hunger, stinking of swine? Firstly, he came to himself. He made a decision. "I will set out and go back to my Father." No person ever became a Christian without making a decision. And I want you listening today to make a decision. I want you to say, "I am going to go to my Father." You make up your mind to do it now. The prodigal son was transformed. His recovery was achieved when he came to himself and remembered his Father's mercy and decided he would go home. He was determined and he made a decision. You know, Many people make a decision and then they stop. They've come to themselves. They've decided to go for mercy, but not yet. And many of you might be thinking, but not yet. Let me tell you, what saved this man was not only that he made a decision, that he got up and went to his Father. Have you stopped at the first point? You've come to yourself. You've admitted you're a penniless sinner, but you've stopped. Have you thought, I know that God is merciful? And then you stop there. Or have you said, I'll make a decision one day? Isn't it tragic that you should go so far and still be lost? I put it to you again that the whole issue rests upon that statement. He got up and went. If you ask me what saved him, I'd say the abundant pardoning love of the Father. If you ask me what saved him, I'd say it was the journey back home the boy made. Both of those. It's always both of those. And that is the journey I want you to make. From where you are to where Christ is. From where you are to where this merciful God is. The one who is slow to anger and great in long suffering. Yes, let's come to ourselves. Let's believe in the mercy of God. Let's make up our minds to go. But having done all that, go. Go. Go to God today from the distant country. Start now. No more delays. No more excuses. No more putting it off. You come now, just as you are, to Jesus Christ. He is with you there. He's willing to welcome you. Doubt no more. If not now, when? If not to the Lord Jesus, whom are you going to go to? He that cometh to me, there's no way I will cast them out.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, although obviously this parable has direct application to all sinners, I have heard that it can also be viewed as the prodigal son representing the Gentiles and the angry brother who is displeased with his father for receiving the prodigal with such joy and celebration as being Israel. Is this an appropriate application as well?
I'm not so sure about that. I think the prodigal son stands, there are two groups there listening to Jesus in Luke 15. And the first group are called the sinners, and that is people who had turned away from God and were contemptuous and cold and dead and loved money. And then there were the second group. They were the Pharisees, and they were the religious people. And they represent the older brother. And we'll see in a moment about the older brother. And Jesus is speaking to these two groups. And the story suits them both, doesn't it? And the story suits Christians. I mean, every Christian loves to hear the parable of the prodigal son. It loves to be reminded of the vastness of the mercy of God. I'm not going to give away this and say it's only relevant, I mean, to sinners. Oh, it's relevant. Aren't I the sinner that Jesus came to save? Aren't I the one who goes daily to a loving Father who smiles at me and I can say to him, Abba, Father, I'm sorry. Thank you for your help and your blessings today. I know his embrace. I know his love. And so the parable of the prodigal son, man, is directed at the two groups in the audience that were listening to Jesus that day, the Pharisees, the very religious, cold, deadly moralistic group, and then the sinners who were very immoral. And what he says in this parable touches them all and touches everyone listening to me today.
Yeah, that makes sense, because the Gentiles, if the prodigal son was a picture of the Gentiles wouldn't be returning home because they were a newly added branch. So they were not previously children of the Father.
That's right. That's right.
So, well, thank you, BB, for the...
Yeah, good question, BB.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I am having back and forth arguments with very dear friends of mine who profess to be Christian, but they think that to insist that repentance is necessary, as in the repentance you described with the prodigal son, is adding works to faith for salvation, making a gospel that requires repentance a false gospel. I am totally mind-boggled by this. I think it is very dangerously wrong. What can I say to these people who think erroneously that all one needs is a profession without repentance in order to be saved?
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know the verse of the Apostle Paul? But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. And repentance means a turning away from unbelief and away from the practices that mark unbelief, a carelessness about the will of Christ for our daily living, our presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to God, our being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are the positive callings that God requires of everyone who says they're a Christian. They've turned from the lust of the flesh and the lust of their eyes and the pride of life, and they've turned and they've looked to Jesus. And for every look at their sins, they take 10 looks at Jesus. They've repented and they've believed. You know, there are two sides of a coin. You can't have a coin with just Abraham Lincoln on one side and nothing on the other. There's something on the other, George Washington on one side, and there's something on the other side. There's bound to be. And so it is. Repentance is one side of the coin, and faith in Jesus Christ is on the other. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Keep working at them and keep showing them. From the beginning, when Jesus began to preach, he began to preach repentance, didn't he? That was the first thing. And he said there wasn't an Indian paper thinness of difference between him and John the Baptist, that there was none born of women as great as he. So what was John the Baptist's preaching? It was repentance, wasn't it? And there was a great revival when he preached that. Will we see a great revival without repentance being preached today? I believe not. We've got to have them both. There we are. God bless you and help you to pray for them and witness to your friends.
Yeah, I've brought this up before, but the irony with this false teaching of repentance not being required of salvation, these people who would charge those of us who believe repentance is necessary as having a false gospel, what do they want us to do? They want us to repent of that teaching. it's nonsensical.
It is nonsensical, yeah. It's bad teaching. It's a symbol of the shallowness of much of evangelicalism, isn't it, Chris?
Yes. And we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you want to get in line and ask a question, send it in immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, Jeff. We have a listener named Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, who says, "Chris, please ask Jeff Thomas to pray for the salvation of my sons and grandsons, John, Jim, Isaac, and Quentin." And she would like for you, if you don't mind, pray on the air so that our listeners can join you in prayer over these children and grandchildren of hers.
Okay. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for a grandmother's concern, a parent's concern for children and grandchildren. Thank you that they're on our hearts, and we don't know where they are, what's going on in their lives, and we would long that they were close to you and acknowledged their sin and trusted in Jesus Christ as God the Son, their teacher, their shepherd, and the Lamb of God that took their sin away. Lord, it's really honoring to ask that such a blessing should come, not just on this lady and her concern, but many men and women who are listening. We all have those, all how we would yearn for them to turn and trust in Christ. And Lord, it's you to give that. No one can come to the Father except, Lord, you draw them, wrap cords of love around these boys, Lord, and this girl, and draw them all to Jesus for salvation. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. And she adds to her note about you, "I love this man." Thank you, Cindy, for sharing something so personal and intimate about your life with us today. Well, I'd like you to have about 4 minutes of uninterrupted time, Jeff, to basically summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air.
Okay. This is the older brother. All right? He hears the sound of the music, and he asks, and he is so bitter. So angry. What a risk the father is taking. This boy might renege again. New disgrace. More gossip. And he stands outside and moralizing. He's not going in. He'd have had the boy back. "Well, earn your spurs," he'd say, "and I'll watch you and test you and judge you." That's how the world acts. You can't welcome a sinner without safeguards. You can't receive a sinner back home without spelling out the conditions. That's how the human heart thinks and works. Well, you know, I've said it myself. I've said, let's see how long it lasts. When a young person comes back from a camp full new joy. But then I've had to say it about myself. I've had to say, how long will I last? Because I was a equally problematic candidate for apostasy, for following Christ to the end. You know, such boys, such girls are frequently the ones that keep going. And somebody else, an elder, a deacon, the last one you'd expect are those who falls. So here's this boy, the elder brother, and his resentment has made him bitter. He didn't go out searching. Remember the man who went, his brother had crashed the plane and shot down in Vietnam. Once the war was over, he went out and searched everywhere for him. He was called the pilot's brother, and he looked and spent money and failed to find him. But the older brother, he didn't go out. He was resentful, resentful of the life of service, resentful of the father's grace, resentful that he had to obey his father. And you know, my friends, we can be just like that, can't we? We can be, oh, so judgmental about others. We should show mercy to people. Oh, my friends, have you ever understood the grace of God? Can you sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. The older brother is the Pharisee. He never thinks he will ever need the divine pity. But the heart sins of religious men are far worse than the worldly sins of irreligious men, aren't they? And what happens? The father has whispered in his ear that the boy is outside. And he goes out again. Out from the room where he went running for the younger boy. Now he goes for his older firstborn son. And he says to him, everything belongs to you, my son. And you will always have me. I will be there for you. Please appreciate that. And you must rejoice in repenting sinners coming home. We had to celebrate. We had to be glad. My son, I want you in this feast. Though you've publicly rejected my welcome and shown your rebellion in separating yourself from us, come in, son. Come in. I'm not going to disown your brother, and I'm not going to disown you. Come now. Pour contempt on all your pride and come. And the boy would shame himself if he rejected the pleading of the father. Let this boy see that he is just as self-centered and just as much a grief to his father as his brother has been. He's no right to feel superior. I don't know where you are, if you're a little bit like the older brother, or you've been a little bit like the prodigal. But there's a father who has brought you to hear this message today, and he wants you to come. He's come and reaching out to you to put right what's been done wrong by you, and to look to Jesus as your merciful and kind and forgiving Savior. Amen.
Amen. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.